Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites! Welcome to our show. This is the show that we do. I don't remember what number it is in the year, but it is number 62 in all. I finally just gave up like a few weeks ago. But it's 62 in all. I do know that. We've done 62 shows.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Let's cut it out. Dave Coulier.
We are the Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from nowhere, which is what we call our studio. In the old studio, we called it the Danger Room, but we call this Nowhere. Where we tell you all the news from all these studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network, YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through Popcorn Talk's website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter, at MarvelNewsPTN, or on Facebook, /Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, tell us
things.
All the things. Mm-hmm. We do our best to watch it, though life is busy, so forgive us if we have a hard time doing that. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about the live chat and everything else, like, we are an awesome show and you should watch it, Zach, our very own voice of doom, in the booth, we'll retweet you. You'll get retweeted.
Hey.
Oh. The voice of doom is here.
Oh,
wow. Obviously the light of doom, too, I guess.
I know. Yeah. I actually really appreciate that the voice of doom gives us a light switch rave.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't bring glow sticks, though.
Aw.
What's that remix? It's on SoundCloud. It's the remix of the Get Swifty song.
Yes.
Rick and Morty.
It's literally the best thing ever.
It's the best song. It's the best song. Anyway, on that note, I'm Matt Key at The Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco at M. Placco.
And we are joined by
Rico Anderson at I Am Rico Anderson.
Nice. Hey. And?
And Alexis Torres. You can find me where all Alexis Torres are sold at atorres890.
We all love that place.
That's my favorite model.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Rico. Hey. Why don't you tell our fans a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, I am an actor. Most recently, one of my bigger projects was Star Trek Renegades. I played the villainous villain Boros, one of the reptilian, blue, scaly bad guys with long dreads. And so I was one of two people creating chaos throughout the universe. Along with the guy playing my father, played by Bruce Young. And that was an amazing event, an amazing time, and wow, come on, I was in the Star Trek series.
So cool.
Yeah, and have a few other projects coming out, have some past projects that are still gaining a lot of buzz. Was on Young and Hungry, on ABC Family.
That's awesome.
That's where I know you from.
Yeah, incredible time there. Mm-hmm. I was on Bones.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just a lot of really cool stuff. I have a couple projects that I'm working on myself. Yay. And just always staying
That's
busy.
That's so cool,
you know,
man.
Yeah.
Well, you got to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. This time will swallow you up if you don't.
Well, and if you wait for people to come to you, like, no one's ever going to come to you.
No.
You got to constantly put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And Alexis, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, there's nothing much to say. I practically live here.
That is something.
No, I'm just a lot of people probably know me from the DC movie section.
I'm pretending that's like the Squadron Supreme.
It's the holidays. We can have some joyful crossover cheer.
Very true. Right now. True enough.
We are at war.
Oh, come on!
Wow.
Only Batman and Superman are at war.
Some people don't.
That's
agree.
Actually true. But no, this is just what I love to do. I love to read both Marvel and DC. They've been both part of my lives for a really, really long time because my grandpa really loves DC and my grandma really loves Marvel. So there's a lot of back and forth.
Awesome.
It's so funny. If you look in there, like, they have this little nook in their townhouse where there's just like boxes of comics from back in like the 60s
cool.
and the 70s.
Oh my
and literally
God.
It goes Linda's box, Tino's box, because like you cannot
have
the mix.
That box?
I have gone through it a lot, and I'm and there were some things that are extremely expensive in there, and I'm not allowed to touch them.
I was going
to
say they will probably cut you.
Yes, no, they're like no, and a lot of them are not in English. Actually, a lot of them are in Spanish or Filipino.
I think that might even raise the value of some of them.
Yeah, but they're never going to sell them, which I'm totally fine with. Yeah, so
I would not let them.
But yeah, this is just, and I love TV. I love everything, and again, you guys know that I work here. I'm also a voice of the booth as well, so yeah, this is just, I'm just happy to be here and to talk about all the awesome
stuff.
Well,
we're glad
stuff.
That yeah, we finally, thank you finally yeah, got you on.
Thank you. Wow.
Well, let's dive in. Yeah. Let's just jump in.
Let's
do this. We're going to start at Marvel Studios. That's what we're going to do today. And we're going to start with Thor Ragnarok. Ragnarok. Where it is rumored that Kate Blanchett is going to be cast. The female lead of that movie. It should be said that Variety said about it was Kate Blanchett is in talks to play one of the new female leads. She's not cast. Nothing is confirmed from anyone else. This is just out of Variety. But we also know that a couple weeks ago there was talk of them talking to Kate Blanchett and stuff like that also. So this goes hand in hand with that. That being said, who do we think she would be?
So wait, the female lead or one of the female leads? Real quick.
One of the new female leads is what Variety says.
Probably a new female. Well, one of the two new female. I would think that, if anything, you would have, like, the Enchantress. And the only reason why I say that is because that would almost be like, oh no, it wouldn't, not even almost, it would definitely be like kind of like a rivalry between, like, the Enchantress, Jane Foster, that whole thing, you know, and now it's like, you know, because, you know, the Enchantress had a little thing for Thor.
Yeah.
And,
you're taking all of the stuff I wanted to talk about. You're literally on the same page. I was thinking that would be really cool if it was Enchantress because of the fact of that whole thing. So, yeah, no, I think you're on the right track. You can keep going.
And she's a badass.
Yeah, exactly. You get it.
Yeah. Also, you know, you haven't really seen the Enchantress a lot lately. I mean, she's been kind of absent for a few years now. I mean, so it'll be a nice time to reintroduce her, which, of course, you know, that's usually when the comics start bringing characters in or integrating what the movies have done and stuff like that.
She's also been rumored in previous films, too. So it's like, it always seems that, like, you know, especially I know with Thor 2, there was a lot of talk that Enchantress was going to show up. So, that makes some good sense.
Yeah. I like her being Enchantress. Mm-hmm. Like, some people have said, like, Valkyrie. Or Valkyrie. I'm probably saying it a thousand wrong ways. But I don't know, like, if she has, like, the action chops to pull off what they would need for Valkyrie. Like, and I mean that is no offense to her, because she can act circles around everybody in the room. But, like, and by room, I mean, like, just rooms in general, not in here. But I don't want to insult anybody. She can act circles around us, guys. Like, you all suck. That's not what I was saying at all. Like, just, she's an amazing actress, but I feel like she's better suited for someone who, like, has this sort of powerful presence, who doesn't need to get into action as often. Like, she's a little bit more, like, along the lines of Loki, where she's like, magic, 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 you know? And I feel like Kate Blanchett could pull that off better. That being said, what do you think about Hela?
See, that's my pick. I actually could see her more as Hela, because I wonder... So I'm pretty certain they're going to bring Valkyrie into this film.
Because they do say one of the new female leads.
I have a gut that, because we've been seeing Valkyrie really pushed in the comics, and, you know, like you said, especially if they all knew all different Marvel, you know, it's a good setup of who they're going to bring in. Mm-hmm. And with Brunhilde, Valkyrie, I agree. They're going to need more of an action star. And Kate Blanchett is a fantastic actress, but, you know, she definitely, her like strengths play more towards like a mental manipulator, not a brawler.
Yeah.
And I would really, you know, it'd be interesting. I could see her either as Enchantress or Hela. And the interesting part is if they kind of bring Hela into Ragnarok, you kind of have that dominion over the dead, over the souls.
Right.
And that's kind of why I'm like, I wonder if they would even bring Enchantress into this, because what I'm not seeing about anything with Thor Ragnarok is the talk of the actual, like, in the comics, it's a searcher.
And the sort of destiny.
Exactly.
And the casket of ancient winters.
And obviously it's way too soon to tell, but everything that we're seeing coming out of this, like the little bits that we're seeing coming out of this film and what's been building up to it, it would be a lot to just kind of drop Searcher into all this.
Right.
So what if Ragnarok is something completely different and brought on something entirely else, and I feel like we would need hella more.
Well, let's point out that Loki is now Odin. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's happened to Odin, so like something's going to happen there. Like, and if you're going into Thor Ragnarok with that, like, it's going to be really hard to be like, by the way, there's a flaming demon named Surtur who's the Lord of Muspelheim. And
what is this voice?
that's just a voice. That
no,
came
I
out.
Like it. Well, no, it looks like since we're both kind of split here, the chat is completely on the same boat. A lot of people are saying it could go either way. Yeah. I don't really agree with the chat saying that she might be too old to play Enchantress. I think she can.
No.
I think there shouldn't be an age. I really think that she can do. But like, she can do either one, and I think she's going to do a bang up job.
I will say, I think Hollywood would cast younger for.
No,
I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying, knowing Hollywood, they would probably cast her younger.
Yeah.
But for the acting chops, I could totally see her pull it off.
Oh, God.
Also, the other thing about it, if you think about it, like, as far as Hela is concerned, she could be like the intellectual version of like Loki in a sense, where you have so now you have the same type of, well, not the same type, but a similar intellectual type of thing, but it's a female lead now.
Yeah, right? I think the banter would be really good too, back and forth. Yeah.
Ooh, what if they did like female Loki and Hiddleston's not?
No. And then there's that.
Be still my beating heart.
Oh my god.
Kate Blanchett is female.
Okay, done. So that's what I want. That's all I want. That's what I want.
You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome.
Yeah. You never know.
Yes, that was a meme. I love that. I love everything about that.
All right.
I want one.
Yes! No, that's exactly. I was hoping that Zach was going to play that, because that's exactly the first thing I thought. I was like, I want one.
I want one.
Just one more thing. I always thought, too, you know, the fact that you have all these really cool potentials, you also have, like, it could be like maybe more than two women buying for Thor's love.
Yeah.
It could be like maybe some one thing that's happening up there where everybody just comes out the woodwork and starts like wanting to, you know, get a piece of whatever, you know, the Ragnarok or whatever. Mm-hmm. Also keep in mind, like with Lady Sif, she appeared in like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So you have like a Valkyrie... Lord, I just can't.
I know. Matt ruined it.
That woman character. She's kind of Valkyrie.
It's hard to say.
You can have a situation where because she is a little bit of a lesser character, she could appear in an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because so far we haven't had like a Thor or a Captain America in S.H.I.E.L.D. And of course, that's money reasons and all sorts of other reasons too. But it's possible, and it could be a different crossover. And because they're gods, they can end up like in an Agent Carter episode.
It makes sense.
Too,
oh,
my God.
I would love that.
Possibilities are.
Thank God I like Agent Carter's coming back.
I know.
Real quick. God, that's such a good show. So let's...
Sorry, Koi's in the chat, and he's just like, the new Thor, she's fine as... Can't say the actual word, but you know what I mean.
Yep, Koi.
And I'm like, yes, Koi. I agree. I'm just like...
let's move on to just a little bitty character. It's not a big deal.
Oh, gosh.
Doctor Strange.
Saw that coming.
Just like, no big deal.
30 minutes of Doctor Strange begins now.
No big deal.
That was like, where's the shirt?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey.
I was in sex. I thought you didn't have your shirt on. I look forward to that.
I'm wearing one of my five or six Doctor Strange shirts, where we have a pic from the set.
Ooh.
That came out just this week. Zach, can we throw that up on the screen? So that we can take a quick look at it. You don't see a lot, but what you see is enough.
Right.
Did you see the pictures at all? I saw it.
And I saw it on
the symbol, the...
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was like. Mm.
it's
beautiful.
It is, I believe it's the Ancient One's temple.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some people were thinking it was the Sanctum Sanctorum, and it could be. Absolutely could be.
Right.
But I feel like the Sanctum is going to be a lot more of a mansion.
And a mess.
Right.
It's going to be like a lot more like a library than like a temple.
Yeah.
You know? So that's my feeling on it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that that's what they're going to do with it, but that's what I think they're going to do. But in the picture, in the very back, you can see, let's see if he gets a pull. There it is. How gorgeous.
It looks so good.
I can't remember. Broussard is the one of the EPs on the left there. Mm-hmm. Scott Derrickson's in the middle, and then it's Louis Desposito on the end. And he's been with Marvel since, Blade, I think.
Oh, yeah.
EP. But they're on set, and it looks like the Angel One's temple to me. Yeah. But in the very, very back,
there it is.
You can see
that's so crazy.
That symbol, and that symbol goes by three names. All of them are correct. The most obscure name is the Anomaly Rue. That's my favorite one because that means I'm a true fan.
I didn't know that.
Matt, your nerd is showing?
My nerd is showing on a nerd show.
Right? It's my shit.
Smiling, you idiot. You're supposed to be a professional.
But it's also called the Window of the Worlds, and it's also called the Seal of the Vishanti. That's what it's most commonly known as.
I like the Window of the Worlds.
I remember that. I remember the seal.
Coincidentally, that's also the symbol that I put on my bike at Burning Man.
Oh my god.
And everyone thought it was a hashtag, so that earned me the nickname of hashtag for a week.
Wow. Okay.
That's not how I thought the story was gonna go, but I like
also
it.
Hashtag is not round. I would call you an at symbol, but not a hashtag. Sure.
It's a fancy hashtag.
But it is interesting to see that because you typically don't see the Seal of Vishanti and the Ancient One's temple whenever they draw that so it's interesting that he's already got it and that I think what they're going to do is when you see the Seal of Vishanti on the Sanctum Sanctorum at the end of the film, it'll be like, oh yeah, he's got to have that. But it's a seal of protection. It's a seal of magical protection with that seal, and it's blessed by the Vishanti. There's no magical attacks cannot happen to him inside the Sanctum Sanctorum, so it keeps him protected. But there's also another, some people are thinking there's a stone looking thing that's right in front of that. You can kind of see it in the bottom left there.
Yeah.
And some people are thinking that could be the Eye of Agamotto. I'm not as convinced about that.
Okay.
But here's the thing to me. The Eye of Agamotto is an amulet, and there's only one of them. So, maybe there's, a sort of iconic representation of it. Hey, here's the statues all over the place of the Eye of Agamotto, but there's only one actual
statues.
But remember, this is also an origin story. So, it could be a thing where all these things are coming from.
Yeah,
true.
Exactly.
When I look at that, and obviously this is so new, but when you look at it, it makes me think of, Superman and the Superman symbol the house from the House of El.
And then
it ends up on Earth, he ends up wearing it and boom. It could represent a symbol whereas eventually Dr. Strange takes it over to
that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's
like
very true. Yeah.
Pops it up in the middle and boom.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
No, I agree. It also looks like it opens too.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I wonder what that door leads to.
It's his refrigerator.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's funny. I was like, is it a mini fridge?
Yeah.
Keep the milk safe. Dormammu.
Yeah. We're geeking out for nothing over this. It's just a fridge.
There's a lot of Yoo-Hoo in there, I think.
Yeah. Do not touch my milk, Dormammu. Keep the cabbage safe from Shuma Garam.
It's important. My cabbages.
Hashtag Shuma Garam loves cabbage.
Loves cabbage.
Along with Dr. Strange, we also have word that C. Robert Cargill... has been writing on the screenplay for about a year now. He was Scott Derrickson's co-writer on Sinister. So
I didn't realize they did a Mr. Sinister
not
movie.
Sweetheart. I know you love Mr. Sinister.
Here we go.
he was a Sinister co-writer.
Okay.
With Scott Derrickson.
Okay, cool.
So it makes sense that he would be working on the script with Scott Derrickson. And that just further, in my mind, cements that they're taking, they're using horror as the genre.
Mm-hmm.
How Marvel loves to do that sort of stuff? It feels like they're going to have, horror elements to this, which totally, again, as I've said before, it totally makes sense for them to do that because Doctor Strange fights demons.
Right.
But
don't we all?
Yeah, I was going to say.
We've all got our demons to fight.
Is there
Doctor Strange are 30 stories tall with flaming heads.
Right, right.
You haven't seen my Tuesdays.
Hey-o!
Just had to do it.
Well done. And then very quickly on Doctor Strange, Tom Holland dropped by the set.
Spider-Man's in Doctor Strange! That's, oh, and, all right.
And that's what a lot of people go, oh my god, Doctor Strange is Spider-Man. Which, in the comics, they do have a very good relationship. Mm-hmm. It would make sense, but I also don't think that Marvel has the licensing to use Spider-Man.
Langley in the chat just said that Marvel doesn't have control of Spidey like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So. I think Tom just wanted to go check it out.
And, I mean, they're shooting in England, which is where Tom lives. Yeah. So he's like, oh, hello, I'm going to drive up and I'm going to visit your set. And they were like, all right, come on down. And now everyone in England is going to hate me because of that accent. That's what happened last time I used it.
Oh, jeez.
I got so much hate. It was,
you just burned bridges like
that.
I know.
My goodness.
People love to hate me.
Aww. It's just hard to love you.
It is. It's very hard.
What?
It's very difficult to love me. I'm a terrible person.
I love to love you.
Alexis, come on now. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Let's jump over to that real quick. Where
all
we have.
All I want is the soundtrack.
Yes.
I know. I can't wait for the soundtrack.
It's going to be great.
I didn't know that I would love this casting until I heard it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yes.
Now I love it. Like, I love the idea of this casting. Kurt Russell is now rumored to be Star-Lord's, playing the part of Star-Lord's
yes,
dad.
Yes, yes, yes. A thousand times. Yes. You have no idea. Like, I would flip this table
right
now. I
would love for that sound clip to play and then have, like, Kurt Russell, like, appear from behind
the
table.
Like, pop up. Right. I'm here.
Here, guys. Let me tell you about all the rumors that are true or not.
Why does he sound like... Never mind.
But yeah, so he is rumored to be... he's rumored to be in talks. The rap, the quote from the rap, that magazine that people love to read, is Marvel has not officially offered Russell the coveted part yet, nor has Russell read the script. But meetings are expected to take place soon. And according to sources from the rap, he is Scott Derrick's, or not, James Gunn's choice.
So someone somewhere said Kurt Russell would be really good for this.
And they're just like,
so that's a,
it shall be done.
It shall be done.
It shall be so.
I would be 100% okay with this.
Guys. Oh, yeah. No, I need this in my life. You don't even understand.
From what I remember, I think that the rap has a pretty good.
Oh, they're, they're
like,
on
the they're a legitimate source. Mm-hmm. So like, this is like a little bit beyond rumor. Yeah, this is oh, he's actually probably in talks. Yeah. The same way that Joaquin Phoenix was actually in talks to play Doctor Strange.
Exactly.
He just didn't take it. So it could be the same thing. Hopefully Kurt Russell will say yes because, oh my god, I would love to see...
The chat is going crazy.
I would love to see Snake Plissken as a cosmic being running amok in the universe.
Yes.
Like, that is what I want to see. Like, also, that's amazing.
And also, Kurt Russell is an old school Disney guy.
Yeah.
And he's this tall. So
yeah,
that's
true.
I don't want to say it's full circle, but hey...
No, it is, though, but it really would be. He's coming home.
He's coming back and doing another Disney film.
Yeah.
So.
And no, and I just think that his personality with Chris Pratt, it makes so much sense.
The only other thing I'd like more though is Nick Offerman.
Oh my god.
As Star-Lord's dad.
Yes. Maybe a grandpa?
Yeah, maybe a grandpa. a random uncle. But I
don't know, I'd like it.
But here's the question. We know they're not going with the Jason route, but who would Kurt Russell play?
I don't know.
So here's what interesting. Mm-hmm. If this turns out to be true, this can tell us a lot about who Star-Lord's dad is, because Kurt Russell, like, you know, is an older actor. So like, it's not like they're going for someone like Adam Warlock, who's going to be a lot more of an active, like, running around.
Yeah, it's a very got a very defined appearance.
So I think he's one of the Eternals. I really do.
Mm. Okay. That's what David Harrison said. Like, as soon as you said it, you put, Kurt Russell is an Eternal. Happy face.
So, I'll say this. This is interesting. And I hope... I don't want to betray too much from... This was years ago, but there was a lot of talk at one point where Eternals and the Inhumans were... being databased a whole lot in Marvel. That's all I will say. There's a lot of, like, information being, like, we need to look up a lot of that. And maybe they're just trying to decide what was that. And we were seeing a lot with the Inhumans.
Right.
And so it'd be an interesting time to bring in the Eternals now. So,
Well, and the Eternals are... They are humans who became, like, infinite because of their leader, Kronos, I want to say. And they were created by the Celestials.
Yeah.
And the Celestials we've already met in the first film. Mm-hmm. So, like, the fact that they've already, like, Guardians was like, you know what, screw it, we're doing Nowhere, which is a giant severed Celestial head. oh, by the way, here are the Celestials. They used to control these gems. Yeah. And now we're going to bring in the Eternals. Like,
I mean, it would make sense.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it would make sense because like they're on Neptune or wherever they end up placing them. But they're in the Milky Way. They can visit Earth. Like, so he could very easily be Star-Lord's dad.
Yeah.
And they would be an ancient thing that the Xandarians have not seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so I really think it's either that or I think a long shot would be Michael Korvac or like the Stranger, because the Stranger would go hand in hand with the Collector.
Yeah. Right.
And,
Now, can you give a little bit of background on the Stranger?
Very little. Yeah. I know he started in X-Men, which is what he's got going against him. He's like X-Men 11.
And we don't know about licensing.
Yeah. Don't know about licensing. Right. What I like about the Stranger is that he created Ego, the Living Planet. And if there's one thing I want in a film other than Doctor Strange and MODOK, it's Ego, the Living Planet.
So imagine, so if the Stranger is...
Played by Kurt Russell. Sorry.
Yes. So if the Stranger is Star-Lord's dad, would that make Ego, the Living Planet kind of his, like, half-brother?
Oh my god, yes.
Yes! I am okay with this. Also, it's to be a
that
thing.
That would be weird.
Peter, I need to introduce you to brother.
Yeah.
Where is he? Is he on that planet? He is that planet. And the planet turns, Bando Peter, like, oh my god.
How would that work if you, like, you know, need, like, a family member to watch your kids and you're going to take them to Uncle Ego?
Oh my god.
You have the entire planet babysitting. Yeah, you can hunt wherever you want.
Run free, graze.
Yeah. And by the way, if you, just Mary Marvelites, if you are looking for a good comic book to introduce you to Ego, the Living Planet, the Thane, the book that had Thane in it. What was that? It was out like just last year.
Thane from Mass Effect?
No. Thanos' son that was on Earth.
Oh, right, that Thane.
Like kind of an Inhuman or something like that.
God, what was that one? I do know what that one. Yeah, it was really good too.
It was really good. Yeah. It was surprisingly good. Like I was like, this is.
I wasn't expecting to enjoy. Oh my god, why am I looking? I know.
I'm gonna look it up. I have to look it up now. Anyway, I will tell you that name in a second. But it was like Ego, the Living Planet, almost like beat the living crap out of Thanos. Like it was like a 2-issue fight, and it was just like, oh my god, Ego's gonna win. Oh my god.
That's some
and
serious
I actually don't remember how the fight ended. I think Ego may have even won.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I don't exactly remember. I just remember thinking, holy crap, Ego's amazing.
Yeah. Because you think, how can a planet fight
right.
But he can.
Because Thanos can just go and punch it. And
I know.
Shatters like a ball of dirt.
But I think it's interesting because I was actually just doing some research while you guys were talking, because I do the after show for the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon, and they just introduced a living planet, but it was called Mandala.
Huh.
Oh, I don't know Mandala.
That's what I'm saying. Huh. So I was like, is that new? Why I thought it was like...
No, Mandala isn't, because there was actually talks with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that the planet that... Simmons was stuck on
was
Mandala.
Yeah, that's. I just didn't know if they decided to change the name.
No, I think that's more of a tie-in to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's kind of living in a different way. That so Ego is an actual entity in which it talks and moves. Does Mandala talk and move?
He doesn't. I mean, he talks, but it seems like it was like either telepathy or something.
Ego actually has a face. Ego's more of an entity. Mandala is more like this psychic planet that it's gained consciousness.
Yeah, because I thought that that's what Disney XD was trying to do, and I was I thought Ego had a face. Did they change the name? So I just wanted to make sure I had my planets correct.
Yeah, I think that was more of a tie into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Here's just a crazy, wild, ridiculous thought, because that's what I do. What if, and this is kind of a small little Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. segue, what if it's possible that planet was Ego? Because one of the reasons why I throw that out there is because, and I know we're kind of like jumping the gun here, but I remember one of the episodes when the guy who was on the planet, he was saying that this planet has moods.
I think they came out and said it wasn't, it was something else. They gave it, it's been a while since I watched that episode. I think they may have called it Mandala, or they gave it the name was like Hebrew for death or something. I only recently just like, I kind of was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I like, just watched the season finale, so I might. Yeah. It's a little jumbled, but I'm fairly certain they I think it was like mandalas. I'm pretty, yeah. And right. The chat will correct me, or YouTube will definitely correct me. Because
Chatters?
Yeah.
Nothing yet.
No, okay. Yeah, but I'm just saying the YouTube comments later tomorrow will definitely correct me. They like to remind me about
and
my...
That's why, yeah. And that's why I'm even here.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guys, from the booth. I know you're still looking. I believe the comic you're looking for with Thanos versus Ego is Thanos, a god up there.
Mm. I don't know that that is. Yeah. Like, I just saw that.
With also the son of Thanos and in the Ebony Maw in that series. Is that not the one you're looking
for?
No,
it's from last year. 2014.
Maybe it is.
This was from last year, 2014. Okay. It was an infinite comic.
Yeah, okay, then that was it, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I got up there listening, yeah.
The chat is giving you Mavith.
Mavith, that's it. Thank you. Mavith, yeah, that's the name.
Over and over and over.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank
Mavith,
you so much.
Which is Hebrew.
Yes, for death. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
It's like the one thing I actually remembered. I was like, that means death.
Yeah. The chat is very good.
Yes. Thanos, a god up there listening, volume 1, number 3, is, I think, the appearance of Ego. If you're like, oh, who's Ego? And I want to go look that up.
Yeah.
Let's Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. We're excited about Kurt Russell. Captain America Civil War, new international trailer came out. There was a little bit of new footage, right?
Yeah, there's
like,
some
more
than the new footage, what interested me more was the positioning of it, because it definitely was like anti-American. It was straight up like calling it not anti. I guess I shouldn't say that. That's a little strong. I'm not a GOPer here. It was definitely more calling into question American authority.
I see.
It was very much like, America, or Captain America, are you a vigilante? Are you sure this is the right route? It was so on point to how the world sees America through this story that, like, the moment I just sat down and watched it, because I was looking forward to the new footage, I was like, oh, wow, that's very poignant and very strongly opinionated. And I'm, you know, working from the, you know, coming from the world of news and working in politics and international politics, I'm aware of that, but it's... To see that in the media form, it was definitely very impactful. As far as the new footage, we saw a couple different scenes of the Bucky and Iron Man and Cap fight, which was really awesome to kind of see a different take on that. We kind of got a little bit more of, again, blanking on his name because names are my bane of existence.
What does he look like?
It's the older white guy from the previous film who's, you know, loosely connected to Hydra.
General Ross.
No, not Ross.
Oh God! Yeah, it's right there.
It's the guy who's been putting in the act.
The act
that is not helping.
Oh, he's putting in the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah, the voiceover from it.
I don't remember.
Whatever. Anyway.
Someone in the chat will let us know. I'm reading it.
Sorry.
I'm
no, waiting. The chats are... Luckily, most... And again, guys, for all of you who are new to the show, the reason I have such bad memory problems, and this will be new to you, is I have a really bad brain injury last year, and I'm still recovering from it. So if I'm really bad at remembering things, I'm trying to get better, and I'm on really good medication that helps me now. So thank you for understanding. But I think the voiceover is from the guy who's introducing the Sokovia Accords. I have a voiceover, but it's a point where he... calls in, you know, Captain America and calls up to, like, hey, you can't have, you know, this vigilante thing. And I think it's his voiceover.
We're getting a lot of different names up in here. Are we? Yeah, we're getting Ross, Zola, Thunderbolt Ross,
it's not General Ross. I'm fairly certain it's the...
The voiceover that starts off where he's like, you're a vigilante, Cap. That is Thunderbolt
Ross. Oh, is it? Okay. All right, then it's Ross. All right, then never mind. I thought it was tying into the bad guy from... Because he's coming back.
No, I know what
you meant. All right, so it's Thunderbolt Ross. But yeah, it's... Yeah. There's a couple more... we're just seeing a little bit more of the plot, and I think it's great.
And by the way, all of the stuff that we're talking about, like every single last news story, every trailer, every picture that we're talking about, I throw up on a website called geekgirlauthority.com. I have a link to it on our Twitter and our Facebook.
Awesome.
Every single news story is there. So if you're looking for pictures or the trailers or whatever else, it's all there. You can go look it up. So just go to geekgirlauthority.com and type in Marvel movie news.
Koi was like, it's Batman.
Yes, it's Batman. Thank you, Koi. Thank you, Koi.
I miss you, Koi.
And speaking of, there's a new plot synopsis for Captain America. I'm not going to read it because it's a giant block of text. You can go look it up on the website. But
Koi's ridiculous.
It basically just says the exact same thing that we've already know.
He was asking, do you bleed, Matt?
Do you bleed?
Sorry. Continue.
No, Koi, I don't because I'm a god.
Aww.
So.
There you go.
I thought you just.
Unless you use kryptonite.
I was going to say, but I thought you bled, I don't know, like just sorcerer magical energy.
I do. Like, I have magical energy.
I thought it was just pure energy or something.
Pure energy. Bang.
Because Matt is our very own Dr. Strange.
Koi's like, I'm here to help.
Tell Koi to get out.
Okay.
So jump over to Netflix real quick. Iron Fist casting rumors. Now, again, these are total rumors. There's I don't know that there's like a website behind this. It was like Geeks on Point or Geeks of Point or something like that.
Nice.
We had
an actor who had access to casting calls and stuff.
But the rumors are that casting notices have gone out.
I saw that. Yeah.
For a character named Dylan Kendall, who is described as 25 to 28 years old, handsome and sophisticated, independent and a loner, series regular.
Mm,
well. There is no such character as Dylan Kendall in Marvel. Let me finish real quick.
No.
In the same casting notice, there's a character named Harry Marshall, who is described as 45 to 50 years old, Caucasian, highly intelligent, merciless, confident, and arrogant, physically active, series regular. There's no Harry Marshall. Mm-hmm. So it's more than likely, if this is real, Dylan Kendall is Danny Rand, and Harry Marshall is probably Harold Meacham.
Keep in mind, guys, seriously, Marvel has done this more than once. They've just introduced new characters. Mm-hmm. Now we have Coulson. Yeah. I mean, he did not exist before the movies happened.
Right.
So they could easily
be. It very well could be.
Right.
Or they just put out fake names. Because Dylan Kendall, I was thinking Danny Rand, because his dad's name was Wendell.
Yep.
That could be the code name.
No, that's a good
one.
And Harry Marshall, Harold Meacham, like they're the same like syllable.
And that's Steel Serpent, right?
No. Harold Meacham is the guy who killed Danny Rand's family.
Oh, right, okay. Right, oh. Okay.
And the way he's described, like 45 to 50, that would make sense for him to, like, when like the guys were like in their 30s, like he killed him, it's been 20 years later, you know. Caucasian, highly intelligent, merciless, confident, arrogant, physically active. Like, that sounds exactly like also, what you would need from Harold Meacham.
Can I just point out real quick, I'm really excited. Do you notice for the Dylan Kendall, they don't specify a race?
Yeah.
That's what I was like.
I know.
Yes.
So I'll be auditioning hopefully next
year. Yeah, I was like, boom, right there.
You let us know just if you're Danny Rand, okay, bro?
I will.
Yeah.
Okay. I will let you know as much as Marvel will send hot goons to my eyes to threaten me, blah, 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 and all that.
That is actually a really good point that you brought that up, because there is a large outcry for, like, an Asian, like,
Yeah, or just not a...
Or at least not Caucasian, because we've got enough of them.
Yeah.
So.
And blonde. Because you got a lot. No offense to blondes out there, but you know, there's a lot of. Have you all noticed? There's a lot of blonde superheroes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. So
I have a hard time telling blondes. That's why I'm actually a natural blonde, and I dyed my hair because I can't.
You don't
like,
want to blend.
I can't, especially out here. I'd be one of the masses.
Right. Yeah.
But then the problem now is being a nerd is we're all redheads. Can't help it.
See, that's why I changed my hair. It's purple now.
I just can't help it. I love Jean Grey so much.
I am a redhead naturally, and I just colored my hair black because I was getting mistaken to be too nerdy. And
it must be so hard for you. Be yourself, people.
Come on!
I was trying to be like Psylocke, but
also I started going gray at 15. That's the real reason. Let's just be very honest.
Cooper, huh?
Yeah. I know.
Gray.
I just
want to go full Storm, but that's not going to happen.
You got to get that mohawk girl.
I was thinking about it because I'm trying to think of new cosplay ideas. Yeah. And I'm like, I might do it. I'm ready for a change. 2016, guys.
I love that I've actually had a few fans like point out that I have gray here and here, which is where Doctor Strange is gray. And this
I thought you did that on purpose.
This is natural. This is... Like, I am made to be Doctor Strange.
No, it's true.
Basically, it.
Fans are very, they notice the little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit.
Yeah.
We've got some awesome fans. We've got some really
amazing fans. That's cool.
So, hey, what's up, everybody?
Audrey in the chat speaking of says, Matt, you're beautiful.
Aww.
Audrey.
Look at that.
Shucks.
Audrey, come on.
Lord of mercy.
but, yeah, so Dylan Kendall, like, I think is Danny Rand.
Yeah.
And again, we don't know if this is true or not, but if it is true, we already know Danny Rand's coming, but it is interesting that they're Harry Marshall. If that ends up being Harold Meacham, that would be, I think, pretty cool.
I just think that overall it's going to be really interesting to see where they decide to go ethnically with, with Danny Rand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they going to just stick with him being a Caucasian gentleman, or is it going to be... I was thinking, I don't know, some people may have an issue with this also, just to kind of have like a happy medium in it all.
Okay.
Make him half Asian, half white.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Right. Now, with that said, I know that there are a lot of Asians who, even though they may be half Asian, half white, still look more Asian than white. So, you can usually tell your own, but for the most part, you do have that. And that could be a thing where maybe they might just... I don't know.
Yeah, I think
it could easily go somewhere. Yeah.
And I think it would be cooler to have more mixed races in there anyway, to be honest. But, as a person who's Blasian, I'm black and Filipino, I feel like, you know, represent, guys.
No, more like Blazin.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you bring up
your favorite.
Yeah.
And I think you bring up a good point, because we talk so much about, like, you know, black, white, Asian, you know, female, male, but what, you know, what, especially with race, what about the mix, the in between? And I think that also deserves, you know, a mention and a nod and some appreciation.
Yeah. We're already a melting pot, might as well. We're
exactly.
That's
a great point.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Meredith.
Both of you guys.
Let's make a very quick mention that Kristen Ritter was nominated for a Critics' Choice for Jessica Jones.
Yay! Congratulations, Kristen Ritter!
She hasn't won yet, but she is nominated, and I think that's awesome. And again, it kind of proves like that these superhero things are being taken more and more and more seriously, because you very rarely see like a superhero nominated for anything, but now it's like, oh no, she played like a superhero with PTSD and like she was a badass. So,
well, it's a good thing.
Excited to see that.
And you know, you look at like all the superhero shows or sci-fi shows in the past, where they just literally just completely get looked over and no mention in anything. I mean, you may get a special effects nod, and that's great, but you take away the sci-fi factor, and I guess the geek factor, and the fact that a lot of people may not be hip on sci-fi. There's some really good acting in a lot of these shows, the movies, and stuff like that. And it's a shame that over the years, a lot of those things have gotten overlooked. It's just ridiculous.
I completely agree with you.
So let's talk about Luke Cage real fast. He did an interview earlier this week where he said
Luke Cage did.
Luke Cage, not the actor. Luke Cage,
Holy
the character,
crap.
Came to life.
That's amazing. Yeah.
He said, "Sweet Christmas," and
there it is.
The actor Mike Coulter gave an interview.
I mean, that's how I talk every time he comes on the screen.
As I said a couple weeks ago, like if they did an hour of Mike Coulter as Luke Cage driving around in a Harley, and that's all we got for an
no,
hour,
I'm okay with that.
I would be like,
over and over. I was like, I'm not going to work today, guys. Sorry, I'm going to be watching.
Every like 3 or 4 minutes, he's just on his bike. He just looks off to the side and goes, "Sweet Christmas." I would watch the hell out of that.
Where's just Luke Cage sitting by his Yule log just saying "Sweet Christmas" and
drinking whiskey?
A meme somewhere, right?
I just want that.
Yeah, Mike, just that
Mike
over
Coulter, get on that. anyway, his the quote that he had was Luke Cage, the Netflix series, happens over sometime after the Jessica Jones series.
Yeah, okay.
Which is interesting to me, because like we had heard like rumors like no, it happens right before, or it happens like it's
during.
The origin story is happening during.
But I like that it's after, because I always feel like there's always prequels. I mean, I know we have a lot of sequels, but I feel like when it's just a sole character, I think it would be really nice to know what happened after all that crazy crap that happened.
Well, and I think they're going to follow like a similar format to like Daredevil and Jessica Jones and be like, here's the story now. Here's where he came from. Like, the origin story will be mixed in with it. So,
we'll
get the scientists doing the crazy experiments on him and everything in
that
prison. But he goes on to say Luke Cage is reeling from the experience that happens in Jessica, and he's trying to put himself back on track. His bar was blown up, and now he has to start over again. He's just got to figure out where he is now and what he's doing with his life, because he wants to define himself as a man, define himself in society, and try to deal with his own demons. Just like Jessica had to deal with her demons, he has to deal with his demons, and that's where he starts.
Yeah. And he might have to start his own detective agency. His own defenders are...
Sons for Hire. So yeah, that's
you.
Sweet Christmas. Sweet Christmas.
There's not a lot to say about that, but it is kind of interesting to be like, oh, that's the direction they're taking. It gives us a better idea.
And I like this direction. I think it's really good to see someone who is a very strong character go through all this, you know, not like complete loss, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's enough to see that he has a lot to start from and know from past also. So I think it's going to be a good mesh.
Yeah, people can relate to that.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, you know, people lose things all the time. People lose houses and fires and loss of loved ones and things like that. So you do find your way back in some shape or form. You recover. You work towards recovery.
Now the voice of Doom is telling us that he has a Jessica Jones rumor for us.
This hasn't really been out big, but yesterday we sort of talked about this on the Jessica Jones after show on the Sister Network After Buzz TV. Brian Michael Bendis both tweeted and Tumblr'd? Is Tumblr'd a thing?
Tumblr'd?
Tumblr'd,
But he posted. Tumbled. He posted. he posted something. He said, guess who's coming back with a fan art of Jessica Jones?
Oh.
Normally, I would say, well, of course she's coming back. We've got Defenders coming up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that, except that 2 minutes later, it was down and erased.
Oh.
So do with that what you will, but taking down a tweet is maybe news.
I think it was done on purpose.
I'm going to jump on that.
Whoever found out it, whoever got it. If you didn't get it, sucks to be you. You know, it's just
Bendis is trolling people.
I'm going to throw it up real quick. And, of course, it's going to make the rounds, too. I mean, somebody probably took a screenshot. But I'm sure there was, like, a quick thing that they...
Yeah.
It seems
formulated.
Maybe.
That's awesome, Voice of Doom.
I know. Thank you. If it's really true, I would be happy because it did really well.
Yeah.
And Bendis is...
Do we have numbers on that? Like, how did it do as well as Daredevil? Did it do better?
I have not looked.
I haven't looked.
Netflix never released that kind of information.
Yeah, because they don't operate on the Nielsen scale, so it's hard to say.
But they probably have like a viewership.
They do.
I mean, they have to have something.
Mm-hmm. They've got to have
something.
Yeah. They know exactly how many people watched it and where they. How many people have watched it a second time and where other people stopped watching it. Yeah. They know every single one of those metrics.
Yeah.
I just know from anecdotal talking to people, a lot of people who were like, I didn't watch Daredevil because it was too comic booky. A lot of like non-comic fans were watching Jessica Jones because they didn't know it was like a superhero thing.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I mean, my mom's pretty nerdy, but you know, I got her into watching it, and she's like, "Oh, I didn't realize this is like a comic thing until you told me." And a lot of her friends have been watching it.
Yeah.
So I think it might have gotten a lot more mainstream.
No, I completely agree with you on that, because I noticed that like my roommates and cousins and stuff, even though like we have a nerd kind of scale on certain things, they were watching and they're like, "Oh, she jumps weird." And I'm like, just keep watching.
Yeah.
And then you know, they obviously started to figure it out, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I would have never known that she was."
But that's why
powers.
I also don't classify Jessica Jones as a traditional superhero show, because and also she's not really doing typical superhero acts.
No, she's not.
Real quick, I just got this very sweet message on our Twitter, and this is a complete deviation. I apologize, but it is adorable.
Oh, all right.
A gentleman named Curtis Bland just sent me a PM to the Marvel Twitter, saying, "Shout out request for my kids, Serenity, Kaylee, and Malcolm, who only let me listen to your show when I listen to podcasts."
Oh, that's awesome.
And he sent in a little picture of his three
precious.
Little kids in front of Christmas trees, and it is adorable.
Gosh.
I'll show you guys after the show.
Yes, please.
But it's adorable. So hey. Shout out to Serenity, Kaylee, and Malcolm.
I mean, shout out to the best crew and the ship of Firefly. So,
that's
awesome. That is truly awesome. Well done, Mr. Bland. Well done. So, getting back on the track, let's talk Fox. Now, there's a little movie coming out called X-Men Apocalypse. I don't know if you've heard of
that
it or not.
A little bitty movie.
They released a little thing called a trailer last week. Like,
I don't know what a trailer is.
Yeah, I know.
Was it a teaser for a trailer?
I think it was a full trailer.
Oh my gosh!
I think it was a full trailer.
I'm just kidding, guys. I watched it like 20 times.
I watched it so many times. It was so good.
It was freaking amazing.
And first of all, I want to say I feel like they've done Apocalypse right.
Mm-hmm.
I like Apocalypse. I like the look. I've had a couple people complain because he's got like that weird sort of like thing behind him.
Yeah.
Other versions of him have had that weird thing behind him.
Yeah.
I know, what I'm most satisfied by is that people were so afraid that he was going to be purple and all these weird colors and everything.
The fact that he's not that
color at all and everything is like, it's like, yeah, that's exactly what they were going to do this whole time. Like, they were doing all sorts of color correction and filters and stuff.
People who don't work in the industry, and this isn't like anything negative to anyone out there, it's just you see a set still, especially with something that's a mix of practical effects that will eventually have vis effects laid on top of it, you can't take it at face value. You know, we know because we have had some, you know, we work in this industry. We know how you know stuff works. We know that in post it's going to be changed. It's going to be edited. Yeah. It's going to be color corrected. There's going to be, you know, 3D effects that are put on it. So we, you know, we can sit here and freak out ahead of time. We're just like, well, let's see how it looks at the end.
That's the one thing that when I started out in like college and stuff like that, I wanted to be a trailer editor, but I really thought about it. I'm like, the trailer, even though when it's edited in a certain way, it will never be exactly how the movie is. Because sometimes you watch the trailer and then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, that was way better. Or like, oh, the trailer didn't tell me any of this. This movie's amazing. Right. So like,
or you don't even see that footage.
And I'm like, that wasn't even in, okay, that's weird. So like, I feel like it should just be something to get us excited or just have some sort of discussion about it. And then when you fully see the movie and maybe again and again and again, you can fully get a good amount there.
And that's how it is. I've noticed that with a couple of other trailers that have recently come out. It's like people are just so quick to judge and just to, you know, oh my god, it's not like it used to be, da, 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 and I'm just like, everybody needs to calm down.
It's like 2 minutes, like,
you
what?
Don't, yeah.
And this is my thing, especially with X-Men, and it took me a long time to get to this point, is that this isn't 616. This isn't Earth, the main Earth of the X-Men of our youth. This isn't even X-Men the Animated Series. This isn't Ultimate X-Men. This is X-Men, I think, 0999999. That's the universe that this X-Men world exists in. And if comics has taught us anything, is that multiverse happens. And you might not like this universe, and you're entitled to not like it, but going in expecting this to be page-to-screen recuts of your favorite, you know, comics from your youth, it's not going to be
asking for too much.
No, you cannot like something because
it's two different mediums.
It is. No, you cannot like something because it's a bad movie, like Fantastic Four, or you can like something because you happen to like Fantastic Four. That's the thing. I'm not going to judge you for your likes and dislikes, but to sit there and say that, well, this isn't real X-Men, that's not the thing. That's not the case. Just because Claremont's X-Men was his X-Men, and this is Bryan Singer's X-Men, they're both allowed to exist in the universe.
Yeah.
So, like, what did you guys like about the trailer? What did you dislike? Did anything, like, stand out to you in any way? Like,
mine would probably be the ending with the actor's name is escaping me.
James McAvoy?
He was sitting in the chair, no hair. I was just like, yes. I'm so excited. Like, that, like, gave me chills, seeing him ready to, you know, to go as
And, like, and seeing him earlier in the trailer with a full head of hair.
Yes.
And, like, knowing that he actually said in an interview, like, a couple weeks ago that, like, he loses part of his hair because of a stressful thing that happens to him. Like, Like, and seeing, like, that difference is like, what happened?
That picture right there. As soon as that came up on my computer screen, I literally, I lost it. Because I was like, this is where shit's about to go down.
I've heard people say that's the best part of the trailer.
It's like the best part of that trailer. I think there was a lot of that trailer that I loved. But that right there, my 15-year-old self came out. I was like, yes!
Because it's hard to not think about Professor X is not bald. Because, like, I'm like, that is...
That's what I grew up with.
Dead on Professor X, and like seeing, like he could become Patrick Stewart. Like,
he's also had three movies of the hair. Yeah. So, all right, let's keep it moving here. Yeah. Let's get the guy bald.
So my favorite, my absolute favorite part, and I cheered out loud, like to the extent that my fiance Brittany was like, "Wait, what are you watching?" was when like I think it's James McAvoy's Professor X and he's walking. So it's either a dream sequence or it's an actual thing that happens. But he like takes a punch at Apocalypse and he catches it. And then the next shot is Apocalypse towering over him, like 30 feet tall, holding him down on the carpet. And I was just like, oh, they're doing it. Yes, they're doing it. Oh, yes. Because Apocalypse is big. Yeah, that picture right there.
Yeah, there it is.
Apocalypse is like his main big power, his mutant power is that he can control the like the molecules of his body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, he can change his arms to hammers mm-hmm. or knives, and he can make himself, like, grow or shrink, and he can increase his density or, like, phase through matter. Like, he can do anything to his body he wants, almost.
Yeah.
So seeing that, I was like, oh my god, please don't be a dream sequence. Yeah. Like, so, and the other thing that I was thinking, if Professor X is up walking around, but he started using his telepathy at the end of the last movie and, like, mm-hmm. being like, no, this is what I'm supposed to be, and I should accept that, I think it would be a more traumatic thing for him to... Something would have to happen to convince him he shouldn't be using his powers. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, no,
I think maybe he's like, I don't want to like, here's my thinking. He's like, I've got to take this serum again to turn off my telepathy because I don't need Apocalypse using that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I'm hoping is going on here, because I really don't want to see him taking the serum again to be like, oh, I just can't handle the telepathy.
Yeah. Yes. Right. I was hoping that wasn't going to be a thing. I also liked Storm. I liked seeing her with her scream log ready to go.
I was
going to
say, I really like seeing the Storm, the, you know, in the younger versions and, you know, the
new
of them. And the Mohawk. Everybody loves the Mohawk.
The Mohawk is so cool.
Like seeing Scott Summers back. I even like the choice for Jean Grey.
When she spoke, that's when I was like, you know what, I'm really, because I love Sophie from Game of Thrones, obviously.
No, she's amazing.
But when she spoke, I was like, you know what, I can really get behind this.
You can totally buy it. It works.
And while we're looking at this picture, can we all take a moment to acknowledge that Nightcrawler has a tail, and that's just
so happy. I'm so happy.
I actually after I watched it a few times, I went back and just paused it and stared at his tail for like a solid 10 seconds.
Yeah, I didn't want to feel weird because I was like, I don't know if you guys want to talk about his tail, but
have to. No, his tail is essential.
Yeah, that's to me, because everyone's like, I thought he had a tail, and I'm like, you guys just don't understand.
He had a tail in X2, but there was never really a question of if you would have one or not,
but it's there and it looks so good.
And Cody Smith McPhee looks great as Chuck Wagner.
Yeah. But it's interesting they did this battle armor, but I think it was needed. I think it was necessary because you think about, you know, and I've seen some of the other shots where it looks like I've seen, you know, they're more traditional, but they're going to go with the suits. Right. And it looks more just the flat X-Men run. Not uncanny, not new, just X-Men. But this is, it's, you know, you think about it, these kids themselves don't have super strength. They don't have, you know, metallic skin. They're not, you know, anything special other than their telepathy, bamfing powers, and laser beam eyes. So putting them in some sort of armor is actually a really smart idea.
Makes total sense. Yeah. They don't have healing factors.
I do want to see some level of the costumes that we all know.
I agree, and
I really did appreciate the fact that in like First Class they gave us you know version of the uniforms. I really like that. I would like to see something in that.
And I saw like a clip, or it was like, Someone tweeted at me, and I wish it wasn't so far away that I could have. I tried to find it to send to the show, but someone tweeted at me. It was a picture of black suits with yellow accents, which is why I thought I was like, okay, this is tying into like just that X-Men run that they did, and I was like, okay, cool. I want to see these full in action, because I think this is just to kind of like, because the other thing I didn't really like is that this is supposed to take place in the 80s. I'm like, 80s, like this armor is way too sci-fi, like. Not even like 2010. I know. But this is like something I expect to see like Cerebus troops in Mass Effect wearing, not young, you know, gifted youngsters wearing.
Right. Yeah. Coy said he doesn't like the silly tats being on the back, the branding BS, and he's fuzzy. I don't really know.
On Nightcrawler.
Okay. I was just like, I'm confused. I don't know what you're talking about.
And
he doesn't like the costumes at
all. Well, I mean, that's,
Koi is our co-host.
He's
in Boston, so we keep referencing him.
Yeah, my bad. I should have clarified.
That's who it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's away for a holiday. Yeah.
There's it.
Who was the, Alan Cummings who played him in X2?
Yeah. Yes.
Alan Cummings in X2 had like all the crazy religious tattoos on his skin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
they try to get a little.
I actually don't mind it. I'm okay with it. Yeah. Like, I thought it was actually kind of a cool.
It adds depth.
Like, accent.
The thing is, especially when you have, you know, characters with multicolored skin like that, like, you need to add some sort of depth. Like, that's why Mystique had the scales. You know, you really, I think they needed that for depth. Otherwise, it's just going to kind of look flat. It's going to read flat.
It's like you're wearing blue makeup.
Exactly.
Yeah, Koi's very upset. I'm not going to repeat everything. Yeah, I don't know if you can see it. It's literally.
Oh, boy.
But let's just, like, throw this out real quick. Like, if this is, like, a full-on reboot of the X-Men franchise for Fox, That is Jean Grey and Cyclops and Nightcrawler. I want to see this young team go and do all the X-Men story. Like, I want to see that so bad.
Yeah.
Like,
to continue.
Can I be really weird and nitpicky, though, for a second?
Of course.
Can they just... I know that's her natural hair, but can they... I wish that
make
was...
Make it more red?
I know.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
It's so dumb. It's so stupid, and I hate to be like that, but I just wish it was like a little...
I'm on the same
boat. That's all. That's
like more Famke Janssen?
Just a little bit more. Not that natural orangey. Red, okay. But which is, I mean, it's obviously of her, like,
I just want it a little darker. Just a tiny bit.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and you may hate me for it. I wish she was blonde.
Jean Grey?
I was like, I really hope that was a joke.
Yeah, I know. Go away.
I'm taking this cup with me.
Honest criticisms I had with the trailer, not me being a weird fangirl, I didn't like the CG. There's that scene where Apocalypse is kind of flying through the clouds of bodies. Mm-hmm. That looked really weak.
I forgot about that.
While I'm super stoked about Quicksilver's scene,
the
way they put it in the trailer, it really pulled me out. It didn't go in with the rest of the trailer.
It
seemed like a separate.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was super weird, and it really didn't, it had no cohesion within the rest of the trailer.
To be honest, I forgot he was in the trailer because it was so quick.
Exactly.
I mean, not to be punny, it was so quick.
But it's like they put him in because they know everyone wanted to see him, but it really felt like it had no place there.
I mean, he was the highlight of the last movie. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. Like, I remember seeing him be like, oh yeah, that's cool, Quicksilver's in it.
Yeah,
but like having like a slight moment of confusion because it didn't seem to fit within the trailer.
Yeah, it's kind of a just to let you know.
Yeah. That he's there.
They could have just given me a whole trailer of Quicksilver, even if it was like 30 seconds, 15 seconds.
Yeah, they'll do their little feature and stuff like that.
Let's use this as a segue to talk a little bit more about the Quicksilver scene. They interviewed the director Bryan Singer, I think for Empire. Mm-hmm. Again, it's on Geek Girl Authority. If you want to go find the link to it. He said, there's one sequence that took 1.5 months to shoot for 3 minutes of film.
Oh.
So Quicksilver's scene is 3 minutes. Like, it's a 3 minute like sequence of some sort. It took a month and a half. And we already talked about that.
Yeah.
However, here's what we didn't know. He goes on to say, it involves the most complex camera moves, very sophisticated explosive algorithms, 3D phantom cameras traveling at 50 miles per hour.
Holy crap.
Shooting at 3,100 frames per second.
Oh my God. I hope they shot a behind the scenes to release that as a DVD.
They probably have to do that.
Can you imagine?
That's so cool.
They have a camera going at 50 miles an hour, and it's in slow motion. That's what you're seeing right there.
Yeah.
That explains a lot now that I think about it.
Yeah,
but that's a month and a half. Mm-hmm. Like we've said on our show before, a month and a half is like that's more time than some independent feature shoot for an entire film.
Right,
A lot of work went into the Quicksilver sequel.
Right. I'm sure they had to. I mean, seriously, like when you think of how the people sitting down going, okay, how are we going to bring to life the realistic version of like Quicksilver running and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Same thing like what they probably sat down and thought of, like, say, with The Flash. You know, it's like, how are we going to do this where it seems, where it will sell, where it will work? And I'm sure, you know, in terms of, like, what they did with this Quicksilver, Avengers Quicksilver, and they probably put a lot of thought into this, so it can come across as real or whatever way you want to look at it. Because, you know.
Just reading that quote blew me out. I was like, the camera's moving at 50 miles per hour. That's insane.
That's crazy.
This is where they put all their special effects budget.
That and Apocalypse.
So, real quick, let's also mention Deadpool is doing this.
Yeah, my favorite of all time.
Fantastic campaign right now. It is so brilliant. It is the most brilliant marketing campaign that you could do.
I mean,
12 days of Deadpool.
Deadpool marketing team, they need so much money. They need raises. Christmas bonuses. They have been on top of their crap.
Yeah, and come the big award ceremony for like all the marketing that they get.
No, like they get it. Yeah. They win the award, they get the trophy, participation. I don't care. They can have it.
Because not only have they been like very smart and clever with what they've done, they're also proving that they and the studio completely get the character because everything they've done has been exactly what the character would do or say. Like, it's just like, it is so good.
And to do any less would be, it would do a huge disservice.
You absolutely.
You cannot lessen Deadpool. Like
no, that. You can't.
No. And I keep saying, this is what happens when a movie studio fully embraces a comic book character.
Thank you. Thank you. They just get it. And they get me, because I love Deadpool so much. It's like just a
Did
addiction.
They call you?
We've got this up here, the screenshot of like the 12 days of Deadpool, and it shows like the advent calendar. So we've had Entertainment Weekly, we've had People, we've had Deviant Art, and today was Empire. Tomorrow there will be something on Fandango. The next day, I think it's joblow.com. Is that
Joblow?
Joblow.
Joblow.
And then there's another thing called Deadpool Core. I think that's a new sort of thing that they're launching. I can read Mashable IMAX, and then on the 23rd
someone's face.
That's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, like, so I'm guessing Ryan Reynolds' Twitter or Instagram
and
or something.
Trailer Eve. I don't know what to expect there. Probably a teaser.
And then trailer,
but then Christmas Day is a new trailer. So
that's gonna be nuts.
Gonna be the big trailer.
Yeah.
So we'll probably get a teaser on Christmas Eve.
That's amazing.
And probably introduced by Ryan Reynolds. Hi everybody, I'm Deadpool, and here's what we're coming into the biscuit about.
Have been on point.
I know.
Can we zoom out again on that on that photo? Because honestly, even though we're talking about Deadpool and it makes sense that was Ryan Reynolds, kind of looks like Peter Capaldi.
I thought it was Jack Nicholson from All
I Know.
Here.
I was like, what?
I'm like, what's happening? But I think it's really funny that it looks like that, because it reminds me of those like Christmas box calendars where you get like chocolate.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make sure, because I was like, that's exactly what it looks like.
That's exactly what they're going for.
I told my mom, like, if you find one of those, you better get me one.
I want it. But yeah, we've got all the pictures that they have that they've released so far.
So good.
Up on our website. My favorite one has been his Christmas wish list.
Yes.
That just came out today. It's on Empire's Twitter.
I gotta check that out.
Let me find it here.
Read some highlights off of it.
They've got the Home Alone battle plan. That was on DeviantArt yesterday. But then today on Empire, you've got Dear Santa, my Christmas wish list, A Lock of Beast's beautiful blue hair. More pouches.
More pouches!
Yes! Shout out to Rob Liefeld.
Two silencers.
Two silencers, three loudeners. A sewing kit for my costume, not my mouth, you jerk.
Oh, my God.
And then my favorite. Yeah, Betty White. And then my very favorite on the very bottom is a new fourth wall for the bathroom since mine is broken.
Yeah.
Oh,
that is
so
my
good.
Favorite.
It's the best.
Besides
so,
Betty White's
yeah,
phone
I think,
number.
Yeah.
It's Betty White's Jet personal Club. Phone number. Yeah.
Yeah, personal phone number. Yep.
So many great, like, little bitty jokes
That's
in there
so
from Deadpool.
Good.
But, yeah, so look forward to Fandango tomorrow for something. Now let's talk very briefly about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All of us are caught up. Voice of Doom, join us in this. We're running long right now, so we'll have to try and make it short. How about that winter finale?
Yeah, wow. That was a thing that happened and didn't go down the way I expected, because I thought they were going to reveal
who the beast was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my question. Is the Inhuman leader a worm?
I think it's Hive.
You think it's Hive?
The Inhumans?
I don't think it's the leader of the... Is it really the leader of the Inhumans or...
It was an ancient Inhuman.
Yeah, I
didn't. It was very powerful.
Yeah.
Hive also is something that we thought of, like, because that could lead towards a Madame Hydra.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I guess with Ward, it's Mr. Hydra.
Yeah, it would be Mr. Hydra. Yeah. I think ever since, like, at first I was like, Ego, and then I'm like, not Ego, and I'm like, I'm thinking it's Hive. Or the Hive.
Maybe.
Hive.
I still think that Ward's going to end up being something from the comics. Something. I don't know what.
Well, they just...
I have no theory.
They just showed they're going to introduce Grant Ward in the new S.H.I.E.L.D. run this coming year.
Oh.
So they are introducing Grant Ward
as a
comic character to 616. So
they're bringing Ward into the comics. Okay.
Yeah, so he may not. We've been yelling about Taskmaster for years.
I wish.
That would be amazing to have Taskmaster.
I'm staring off for Coy.
I could see it. I could totally see it.
Apparently, he does that when you guys are talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm also on the same boat. I was like, it has to be the Hive, and that's what I was hoping for. So that was my opinion.
Well, because the thing is that the actor is so good, they're not going to get rid of him.
No, there's no way.
I mean, he's one of the main characters for all intents and purposes. So I think it's a good way to, you know, Ward is dead, but the actor gets to live on. So
yeah, or he'll be in flashbacks or something. I don't know.
No, I think he's going to be around. I think it'd be great to actually use him as developing as the new head of Hydra.
No, I'm okay with this.
Yeah. And I'm also really happy. Can we just, like, return Hydra now, take him out of the movies because they really serve no purpose anymore.
True.
And, you know, they can kind of be the shadowy agency that we reference every once in a while, and now they become a plague for the S.H.I.E.L.D. team.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's curious just what they're going to do with Hydra, with, because Zemo's coming.
Oh, yeah.
They're not, unless they just take him away from Hydra completely, they're not done.
I'm sure they're going to play a big part in it.
Yeah.
In the Civil War.
I can see. Yeah. But that's the thing is that Zemo, even in the comics, he kind of goes rogue. Not, I mean, he's still kind of, he kind of does his own brand of Hydra stuff, you know, especially when you, you know, if you read any of the newer Captain America stuff, especially what led to Steve aging, you know, Zemo kind of went off the whole deep end. So I think if they kind of have Zemo go rogue and decide that Hydra isn't what he thinks it should be anymore, and he just kind of starts his own evil plan, I can see them pulling something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Someone in the chat asked if you can explain Hive, mostly for Matt.
I'm not as familiar with Hive. Like that's
Zach
that
is
I
pretty good
see.
At that. No,
Hive is sort of this. It's a parasitic being that can take over. I only have a limited knowledge of it from like mainly the Secret Warriors run. But it can take over people, and it runs, it can take over bodies, but...
So, basically, Hive actually absorbs every mind and body it touches, it absorbs that personality, and it can take over and physically become that person, but it actually has the ability to pull upon the memories and the thoughts and the beings of that. But it's one of those, you know, it's a typical parasitic entity, like Zach said, and, you know, it'll take over that mind and body. But there are times that if Hive takes over a body that has a particularly strong personality and that body hasn't been physically killed, that mind will actually fight back. And there have been instances in the comic where, you know, I think especially, well, there was a, you know, the biggest one is really Madam Hydra, where you think Madam Hydra was, like, dead and kind of reanimated, but then eventually she gets reborn, which is a really great run to read. I can't think of the books off the top
of
my head.
Was that Secret Warriors?
I think that was part of the Secret Warrior stuff.
Okay.
And it really is a very vicious entity and something that I never expected to see in the MCTVU, but it's a great play. So but basically just, you know, imagine a creature that can retain the thoughts and minds and powers and inhabit a being and can just jump and do that.
Yeah. That was for Loweski. So.
Thank you, Loweski.
Yeah, sorry I had to jump in.
Everyone in the chat. There you go. The more you know. Everyone in the chat loves it. The more you know sound.
Okay.
No, Meredith, everyone in the chat's like, thanks, Meredith. That was really awesome. Thank you for that.
I'm not as familiar with it. Like, and I've read Secret Warriors, and I was like, hi, I don't remember that at all. So the thing that I was, like, confused on was this, Seven Cities? Like, so are we thinking that this is, like, that's where the Inhumans were? Is that, like maybe where, like, Adelon
the
was
original,
and Orlon and all that stuff?
I don't know.
Backstory of those seven
cities? I spent, like, a good 2 or 3 hours looking stuff up on, like, what are the seven cities?
Yeah,
like,
was it, like, the ruins of the old? Yeah, I don't think it's actually based in the comics.
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing.
I remember at the beginning somebody was kind of hinting that it has a similarity to, like, the blue area of the moon.
Yeah.
It's blue.
That's what I was thinking,
right,
too.
Right, that whole city before Atelan crashed down.
Adelan.
Okay, did I just kill the name again?
No, I don't know.
Crashed down. I mean, maybe there's a connection or...
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, that's why I was thinking, like the cities of the Inhumans, like, somehow.
Right,
like,
it could be a similar city that got away or...
Oh, that's a good idea.
I like that idea. I think it's really good. Yeah.
I bet we find out in spring. I bet like they cover a lot of that stuff. Because like, I really feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like winding down. They might have one more season in them.
You think so?
I really think so. Because like, they're going like bonkers to the walls with this season. Not in a bad way. Just like, they're just like, here it is. And, like, they've got, like, two possible new series coming out next year.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think probably, like, it's Bobby Morris and Lance Hunter. Mm-hmm. They're doing, like, their Most Wanted. Mm-hmm. And then there's another show being Damage Control, yeah. But then there's another show being developed by the guy who wrote 12 Years a Slave. That no one knows what it is yet, but, like, he's really excited about it. I want to know what that is. A lot of people were like, are you doing Ms. Marvel? Please say you're doing Ms. Marvel. Yeah. I don't think they're doing Ms. Marvel. I think that effects wouldn't work for television. But there's other shows being developed. So I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, hey, here's Marvel. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s kind of not a thing anymore. We're winding down. Here's an explosive last season or like couple seasons and then we're out. Like, I think that's what's going to happen.
I mean, that'd be kind of nice. Yeah.
So, I just think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just needs to just... I hate to say this, get a little bit more like where the comics were with it in terms of some of the main characters and the adventures and the constant, like, just action that came from it. I mean, you gotta have your drama, you gotta have your all that kind of stuff.
I think it almost, it's a little too serialized, and I think it needs to be a little bit more episodic. Yeah. Like, it needs to, you know, I tend to not like that Monster of the Day thing, but I kind of miss that.
Yeah,
like, some people had complained that Jessica Jones missed the heart of... you know, the Alias, the comic, it should have been like she should have been fighting, solving a crime every day, and I'm like, no, it but didn't work for that.
Not for an introductory season. I feel like if maybe for a second season or even a third or whatever, I think we can have a Monster of the Week. I think that'd be fine. Yeah. But like, I feel like we don't really need to do that all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
For
every
all right, so we've got to move on.
Okay.
An hour. So super fast questions. Meat Shield at Mr. E Meat Shield wants to know, what are the chances that Zemo and Civil War will be used like Structure in Avengers 2.
Oh, Strucker.
Did I say
Structure?
Structure.
Did I say Structure?
Yeah, you did.
Strucker in Avengers 2. I think he's going to be a much bigger part. I think he's going to be like the big bad throughout the entire film.
I only want like one thing out of Zemo, and I want him as a television and a robotic suit. That's all I want. If he's not a walking robot with a man's face and a television in the middle of his suit.
Why do you want that?
Because it's dumb and I love it. And I just want a nod to that. It doesn't have to be the whole thing. I just want that.
Maybe it could be the beginning of it. He blows up and then.
Exactly. It's just the dumbest thing.
Arnim Zola. Are you talking about Arnim Zola?
I am.
I'm talking about Baron Zemo.
Yeah,
who
you're right. Sorry.
Hood.
God, my brain is not working today.
Touched on that in Captain America.
Jesus, you're right. God, my brain. You're right. Thank you. I was confusing. Oh, my God.
I mean, I like
no, thank you. No, you should. Exactly. I was like, you're right. Because Meredith's brain isn't working today.
It's okay.
Well, don't forget,
fine.
Zola appeared at the very tail end of Carter.
He did. So. You're right. It's fine. It was a rough night. I didn't get a lot of sleep, so I'm off today.
But Baron Zemo, I think, is going to be a much bigger part.
Oh, he's the main villain. That's what I get from.
I liked your rant, Meredith. Okay.
I'm going to explain a really super obscure character, and now I'm going to screw up one of my. And I love Zola. Oh,
did you get just real quick? Did anybody catch? Unless I'm crazy, and people call me out on it if it's not. Anybody catch the little small Civil War reference that they used in they mentioned in the finale? Where Coulson said, I have to go off to Washington. We're going to talk about
I missed that.
Completely.
It was so quick. He was like walking, going, I got to take a trip.
I remember that very vaguely. Yeah.
That's cool.
So Dan at Who86 tweeted out, do you think we will get Moon Knight Netflix anytime soon? I want to see that. I don't know if it'll be anytime soon. I think it'll be post-Defenders, if ever. I would love to see it, though.
Yeah.
I think a Moon Knight show would work amazingly on Netflix.
I
would love to see it.
I'm a huge fan.
It's cool, man.
It's
not everyone's flavor.
Yeah.
It's cool. Jorg N at I Hate YH asked, how would you guys introduce Captain Marvel into the MCU? We know it's going to happen, but just how, story-wise? That's a big question, man.
Well, you know, at one point, I from what I read, there was a earlier script that apparently had Jessica Jones and Carol Danvers being BFFs.
And
I guess for whatever reason, they decided to come
Well, that was originally like for ABC, I think, when ABC was looking to do... I don't know. I really don't know. We're going to have to think about that.
I actually have a novel idea. Maybe not teaser and any other thing and just bam, out the bat with the new film.
Okay.
But
oh, I don't think they'll do that. They'll have to teach her in something.
I'm just saying. That's just I'm
that
not
would
saying,
be amazing.
Yeah, but. That's just my what I would like to see.
I mean, a Guardians of the Galaxy would be a good would be, I think, a perfect, you know, boom into that.
I think Guardians would work really well. I think maybe they'll introduce something in Doctor Strange
that kind
of goes along those lines, too. Yeah. So, Calvin at King Sport Calvin says, I'm a fan of 90s comics. Any chance we'll ever see Darkhawk in the MCU? Probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
Unless it's going to be a completely revamped version. He's going to have like a leather jacket and jeans and carry a gun. Wait, that's the Punisher.
But I don't think we're going to get like the Darkhawk crystal. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see him traveling through space. Like, there's plenty of other characters to play. I would love to see Darkhawk. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
I can see a really quick nod to it, but.
It doesn't need to be
a mention. Codename Darkhawk.
I think at most we'll get the name Chris Powell thrown out.
Oh, that'd be cute.
You know,
yeah.
Chris Powell was his name. Like kind of the same thing that they did with oh my God, White Tiger. Angela Del Toro, I think is her name. And Jessica Jones. And she's like, there's another private eye, Angela Del Toro. Go talk to her. It's like, ooh, are they going to do White Tiger? Like, and hopefully they will. That would be amazing.
Or just even the Easter egg nod. That's
just the Easter egg. Right. So, and Aaron Kelly, lastly, Aaron Kelly on Facebook wrote, much love to you guys. I was notified by Facebook that I had been listening to the podcast for a year now.
Aww.
Could not imagine this past year of commuting on the 405 without you.
Cool.
That's awesome.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's
and
really
you,
cool.
You're a brave soul for braving the 405.
I have to drive down there. I hate driving on the 405. I do it all the time.
My favorite license plate I've ever seen was H8. 405.
Yes.
Really?
It was 405. It was hate the 405.
That's
like,
amazing.
Where's everybody going at 12 in the afternoon? Why is the place a parking lot? Come on, people.
I just hate it when they're like, oh, there's construction. There's actually no construction. Yeah. People just
but hey, Aaron Kelly, you live in Los Angeles. Yeah. We do this in Los Angeles. If you ever want to come to onto our show, shoot us a Facebook or a Twitter.
Yeah, we always
have the couch.
In fact, oh God, why am I blanking on his name? Juan, I want to say.
Yeah, Juan.
Was supposed to be here today, but he was sick.
There's something going around.
I'm so glad you're recovering.
Mm-hmm. So.
He was gonna join us.
I feel better, Juan. I have a question for that. So I posted this yesterday on my Twitter feed, and I want to open this up as a whole to think about over the holidays. If guys, this is you have to think about this seriously. If The Rock were to be cast in the MCU,
oh boy,
who would he play? Or Fox, or you know, or Fox property?
Just
you
Marvel.
Know, just Marvel.
No, like if you were cast
in a Marvel,
like in the Marvel universe.
Character. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so not just MCU, but in the Marvel universe, who would he play?
Oh, we already have one.
Cable.
Oh, you took mine.
That's good. That's really good. Because a couple people tweeted at me Cable. That was a really popular response.
Yeah.
Cable was really popular. So was someone suggested Forge.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting.
Right. Or Wendigo if he wants to just do that.
He hasn't done that yet. Right. So yeah, why not? Good.
That would be very interesting.
Have to say much.
That's very.
He doesn't have to. Could he be the blob?
Could we see The Rock as the blob?
No.
As the what?
As the blob.
Because here's the thing.
Frank
Dukes. Don't do this to me.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The Rock, you have to take into account, The Rock is very heroic. He rarely, when he plays a bad guy, it's hard. It's hard for him to play a bad guy because he's always like,
no, he's too good. Yeah,
and he's strong and he's a brawler. I was having a hard time coming up with like a superhero esque. Cheryl Ann, Miss Romdini suggested the Gladiator, which is
how about Rage?
Yeah,
okay,
Rage,
oh,
Rage.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm trying to remember like specifically.
Oh, I remember. Mm-hmm. Oh, back 90s.
So think about that, guys. Feel free to tweet at Mplacko and at Marvel.
A lot of people are in the chat here doing like Absorbing Man, Rage.
We already got that though. Shield.
Yeah, we did. Right. But
Namor.
Oh, Namor.
Oh, Namor. Yeah.
Black Bolt.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yes.
I would see him as
over Vin Diesel.
Beta Ray Bill.
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
Star Fox.
I think Namor.
Man.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to see him as Star Fox, though. He could kill Star Fox.
But yeah, that would actually be funny.
There's a lot. Now they're going into DC villains now.
But yeah, that's my question for the holidays.
No, it's a good,
if I can toss in my dream scenario.
Yeah,
oh, here we go.
The Rock shows up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Ares so that Phobos can be a part
of it.
Oh, someone
did say that.
Oh, oh, my God.
That
would be amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
okay with
that.
This.
Yes. I can totally see that. Totally see that.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's our show.
That's my holiday gift to everyone.
Your giant hour and a half holiday special. We're out of town for the next 2 weeks. I'll actually be out of town the first week that we're back. Also,
I'll be out of town.
I will be at New Orleans Comic Con,
nice.
Though. So
hey.
At Wizard World, I think it's the very first weekend in January, like January 6th or whatever that is.
Do we want to share some holiday thoughts with our fans?
Well, that's
before we go.
Well, do you have anything?
Well, let's start with them and then wrap.
What? No, I have nothing to say.
Yes, you do.
I'm trying to think. Holiday. I'm gonna let our guest go first while I'm still thinking. So go for it.
Wow. People are gonna be traveling. People are gonna be spending time with loved ones. Let's also remember the people who aren't able to be with their loved ones. Let's think of the world, events in the world, be safe, watch yourself, see something, say something, watch other people. And I mean that in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Just take care of yourselves and have fun and do your best to try to just unplug for a while.
Unplug
and just reboot and come back strong and kick butt.
I like to, at least with my brothers and I, we like to do something where we learn something new, but we like to do something different every holiday season. So if it's like taking a cousin out who hasn't, you know, gone out very much because of something that went on in their lives, or having a friend who can't go home for the holidays for some other reason, this year we sent, not baked goods, but like a box, we call it a balik bayan box in the Philippines, and we send all our old toys and clothes and stuff to villages in the Philippines who don't have Christmas stuff. So sometimes we'll send like an old tree or things. But I just think it's something good if you know, obviously everyone's buying gifts for their family, but maybe, you know, buy something for someone who's going through a hard time. I think it would be really good for them just to brighten their day. You know, it doesn't have to be anything big. It could be a gift card to like their favorite place to go get coffee or something. I just feel like not everybody likes this time of year. Just make them feel like they're part of, you know, your world.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think it's important to acknowledge like the Christmas spirit is really about like inclusion, loving, giving, charity, like, you know, like you don't want to necessarily like ascribe it to any one religion, because so many religions have
their
own thing going on this time of year. But like just that holiday spirit, like every single religion is kind of like, hey, love each other, be charitable, take care of like the widow, the orphan, the sojourner in your midst, like all of that kind of stuff. And just love each other. Just love.
Yeah, because usually our tradition is if I usually stayed until like right before Christmas Eve at college, where we would have anybody who was traveling internationally or something that couldn't get home in time, we'd just have a holiday party or just a get together. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be, you know, whatever religion that you celebrate. We're just like, no, we're just here to have fun.
And just and like
hang out.
They're like, not only some people not with their families, but some people aren't like around just in general. Like there's like just be nice to each other. Yeah. Like life doesn't exist forever, so don't take it for granted. Love your family. Like I haven't seen my family in a year. Like I can't wait to get home to see my family, you know? Like I talk to them like once every couple weeks on the phone and then you get away from that and you start to take that for granted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that distance, and then like before you know it, you're like, oh my God, it's been a year since I've hugged my dad, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or my mom, you know. Yeah. So don't take advantage. Don't take that for granted.
Yeah,
I think the team here said that was very on point and very sentimental. But I want to directly to you guys out there in the YouTubes and the iTunes land. I want to say thank you so much for spending your year with us. This is you know we're going into our third year, right? With
so
Marvel
insane.
Movie News. It's been
thank you.
An amazing journey. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
But it's cool though.
Yeah.
On a personal
level. I really want to thank you guys for the help you gave me. Like I said, today was actually a bad day. Probably more because I haven't eaten yet today. That's the thing. But you know, long-time listeners of the show know that I was in a really bad accident last year, and I've been recovering. And some days you see me on point. Some days you guys see me, what the heck is Meredith talking about? Those of you who have understood and wished me well along the way, thank you, because I come every week, despite some days I don't feel like I can come do this. But it's been part of the healing process for me. So, and I know a lot of you have messaged me saying that, like, this show helps you get through the day, be it from a sickness or bad day at work or just some problems you're having in your life. But I want you all to know know that, you know, every one of us who's been on the show has had some bad times in our own personal lives, and this show and you guys have helped us get past them. So as much as we try to provide a fun and entertaining environment for you, I want you to know that you in turn have given us a really great year and hopefully many more to come. So thank you and happy holidays and have a great new year.
Yeah.
Geeks rule.
Geeks rule.
So real quick, where can people find you and do you have anything coming up that they should go watch?
I do. You can find me all over social media as atorres890. That's Snapchat, Facebook, all of that good stuff. I have a vlog. I'm hitting my 100th vlog next week.
Yay!
So I'm doing a giant Q&A. So you use a hashtag AskAtorres890 and you can ask me anything. It can be silly. It could be dirty. It could be Marvel, DC. It doesn't matter. I'm also trying to get tattoo ideas because I'm finally going to break some skin on that. And I'm doing nerdy stuff. I'm doing one for DC and I want to pick one for Marvel. I think I was just going to go with the classic X-Men symbol somewhere.
Good.
But if you guys have anything else, I would really like to know. Again, you can just send it to my Twitter, but I'm really excited because I committed to this year doing 100 vlogs and I did it.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Master Rico.
Yes, sir. Twitter is I am Rico Anderson. That's also my Instagram handle as well. On Facebook, you can catch me at Actor Rico E. Anderson. And please join it, write it, or follow me, tweet me, what have you. Would love to increase that Twitter viewership. You can catch me also on Casey Undercover on the Disney Channel next year.
Nice.
Awesome.
In January.
That's awesome.
I will be launching my website.
Yay!
Yes, finally. In the coming weeks, I would say in about 2 weeks or so.
That's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a long time coming. Some people feel that it's been a little too long, and they're probably right. But it's going to be launching. So please, to find out when it launches, please follow me on Twitter. And thank you so much for having me on board.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
You can find me at M Placco on Twitter and Instagram. And you can always find my writings over at geek.com. I actually wrote a huge breakdown of the X-Men Apocalypse trailer. You can go check that out. It's also linked on
the Geek Girl Authority. Yeah.
And find me at the Amazing Comic-Con circuit next year. We've got some great guests. They just announced Robert Kirkman, awesome. Chris Claremont, Rob Liefeld at some of the various shows. It's going to be amazing. So
it's Amazing Con.
Yeah, it is Amazing Con. And we've got some other big things that I can't wait to announce. And I'm also doing stuff over at What the Flick. So find out my views.
On the Young Turks.
Yeah, on the Young Turks. We talked about TV shows.
I like I said, I'll be at Wizard World New Orleans. Yeah. You should come if you live in that area. Come find me, tweet at me, and if you need help getting into the show, maybe I can help you out. And also, just last week, I got a really cool job producing Kevin Smith's new podcast.
Yes! Yay! Congratulations!
Batman on Batman.
No big deal.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, no.
Who's Kevin Smith?
Who's that guy?
But the very first show, he actually had me come on and talk about Doctor Strange for 2 minutes.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. And
congratulations.
He's just like the best guy. He's like couldn't ask for a better guy than Kevin Smith.
So,
anyway, you can find me maybe every once in a while I'll appear on that, but certainly all the things that they talk about are things that I tell them, hey, you should talk about this.
No.
So come find us over there and support that show and make me look good. So anyway, that's our show. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy, what am I missing?
I think you hit everything.
Yeah.
Winter solstice.
Or just what is it, like a Friday? I don't even know what day.
Happy holidays. Anyway, that's our show. Thanks for joining us this year. We'll be back in January with more Marvel movie. More Marvel news.
Thanks,
everybody.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.